25 years ago, Doug Merlino, a white, not especially athletic eighth grader attending a selective private school in Seattle, joined an AAU basketball team that was also a modest sort of social experiment. In retrospect, Merlino has acknowledged that he was, quote, on the team for racial balance. For his first book, titled The Hustle, Merlino sought out his former teammates, black and white, in an attempt to discover what they were doing today and what, if anything, that 1986 social experiment had achieved. In a recent conversation, the author told me that he and his teammates were not entirely aware that their black coach, Willie McLean, the man who assembled the team, had goals beyond basketball.
It wasn't made explicit to us at the time, but we knew, having two sides, one coming from mainly the suburbs and white enclaves of Seattle, another coming from central Seattle, which was primarily black at that point. I mean, we knew that this was not a normal basketball team and that there were some greater goals. We were never really sat down and told, this is so you can all be friends and cross racial lines, but just by the setup, it was pretty obvious that something was up.
Doug Merlino doesn't remember how many times his basketball team won, but he told me that he'll never forget one particular ride home from a road game. He had to give the coach directions, and as the team van wound through suburban streets lined with what Merlino calls McMansions, he realized that his black teammates had never been in a neighborhood like his. At least one of them was baffled by the size of the Merlino family manse.
One of my teammates, Damien, asked me, what side do you live on? And I had no idea what he was talking about for a second. And, I said, what do you mean? He's like, well, what side? Do you live on the right side or the left side? And I realized he thought it was an apartment building. I said, you know, it's one house. And all these guys were just looking at me. And, of course, I scrambled out of this van as quickly as I could and into the house.
Doug Merlino, who became a journalist and now lives in New York City, began trying to reconnect with his former teammates in 2002. Some of them were easy to find. Dino Christofilos had become a multimillionaire as a result of the success of the hedge fund he had started. Sean O'Donnell had become a prosecutor in Seattle. Both men are white. Merlino found it was more difficult to locate some of his black former teammates. One of them, Terrell Johnson, had been murdered, perhaps as a consequence of what Merlino terms Johnson's, quote, peripheral involvement with drugs. Another didn't seem to have a fixed address.
John Thompson, or as we call him, JT, had been a very popular, gentle kid. And when I'd come back, the word on him was that he was on the streets and involved in some type of hustling, and no one kind of knew what he was up to. And, you know, he basically told me, like, that team was a family, and I loved you guys. And, I mean, he was still involved in various street hustles, but he really wanted to talk. And, of course, the one other guy was Myron, who had a cocaine addiction for years. And at the start, me and another guy run into him on the streets, which was very uncomfortable. And then several years later, he was arrested and in jail. And that's when our conversations really started.
One of Doug Merlino's conclusions in The Hustle is that despite well-meaning coaches and some private schools that tried, albeit sometimes wrong-headedly, to reach out to minority students, most of his black teammates were doomed to struggle. As he puts it, they had very little margin for error. The disadvantages of poverty were overwhelming. He points out that when Lakeside, the private school he attended, tried to address the social divide in Seattle by recruiting minority faculty, 5 of the 6 new hires left the school after 1 year. But Merlino's work on the book did result in at least one reconnection with a black former teammate. As the author puts it, Damian Joseph, the guy who'd asked him which half of the house his family lived in, became a role model. He's a teacher now and active in his church.
Damian Joseph and I have a rapport and we have the same interests. And so I hope and I think our friendship is going to continue because we spent so much time talking, and I think that we've both really come to know each other on a much deeper level. And I think we have both say that that's the level that, as kids, we never got to. We did play basketball. We did have some fun. But, you know, as men, you can go that step beyond.
As sociological study, The Hustle is flawed for all sorts of reasons, beginning with the size of the sample. As the story of one young basketball player who became a writer curious enough to look up the guys with whom he had played, in part, it's a discouraging commentary. Late in the book, Doug Merlino refers to Jackie Robinson, saying of him that the transcendent Dodger recognized that, quote, celebrating people on the athletic fields can be a substitute for real equality. Our team, Merlino writes, was never going to do more than paper over the rift. To the extent that he has acknowledged that rift and begun to build authentic connections with some of his former teammates on the other side of it, Doug Merlino has made an admirable start. Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Ferrati. We had help this week from Chris Thayer, Paul Vikas, and Doug Patterson at KUOW in Seattle. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view our photo gallery, subscribe to the Only a Game podcast, listen to archive chosen stories, or learn more about our weekly music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word comes from Philadelphia Magazine columnist Michael Bradley.
Well, everybody knows that the Eagles fans are very welcoming and are so, so kind to opponents and their fans.
Wait a minute. These are the fans who snowballed Santa Claus, right? Just checking. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, supporting unconventional approaches to transform health and healthcare at rwjf.org/pioneer. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. This is NPR.